And welcome to What the World Needs Now. This is your host, Ken Johnston, and glad to have you all with us. I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your prayerful and financial contributions that have kept us on the air for over 40 years now and allow us to bring us great shows like today's. And before we go to our guest, Father Tom Morrow, just a quick announcement here. On Sunday, April the 23rd, we'll be having our annual Wake Up America dinner. It's always a great event out at St. Joseph's in the Hills Retreat House, a.k.a. Malvern Retreat House in nearby Malvern, Pennsylvania. The president of In His Sign Catholic Radio, Kathleen McCarthy, will be on with will be there with her keynote address. Most of the broadcasters and engineers will be on site. We'll have a silent auction. Drawings for raffle prizes. So come on out and join us. It's $55 per person, $100 per couple, or $400 for a table of eight. And it's just always a great afternoon. So I look forward to seeing you out there. If we've not met in person before, please make sure to stop by and say hello and allow me to put a face to the names that I hear all the time from Kathleen. It'll be great to see you. Also, Eddie Morris called in the last hour, and a reminder that coming up this Saturday is the 15th annual Man Up Philly Conference. It's going to be held at Cardinal O'Hara High School. And it's always a great day. I've been there for probably 12 of the past 14, and looking forward to being there this coming Saturday. If you have not registered yet, you can go to manupphilly.com. If you use the promo code HOPE, you'll get a 10% discount. That's HOPE, H-O-P-E, when you register. Again, get a 10% discount and come on out and join us there. We're hoping to see, you know, upwards of 1,300 to 1,500 men participating, and just a great day to be had by all. So come one, come all. Ladies, if you're listening, send your husbands. Get them connected, reconnected, and I guarantee you they'll be better for it. So without any further ado, I am happy to be joined today by Father Thomas Morrow. He graduated from, the screen flipped on me, graduated from St. Charles Seminary right here in Philadelphia. Father McKay mentioned before he went off when he heard Father Morrow's name, he's like, oh, I went to school with Father Morrow. So he's a graduate of St. Charles Seminary here in Philly and was ordained in 1982 for the Archdiocese of Washington, D.C. He has an STL in Moral Theology from the Dominican House of Studies and received his doctorate in Sacred Theology from the Pontifical John Paul II Institute for Studies on Marriage and Family in 1999. He hosted his own radio program for 3 years, from 1989 to 1992, called Catholic Faith Alive on WNTR in Washington. So this isn't new to Father. Father, welcome to the show. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you, Jen. Good to be here.
So how we got connected here is Father Morrow has written a book called Straight to Heaven, A Practical Guide for Growing in Holiness. It's published by Sophia Institute. It's available at Sophia's website as well as locally here at the St. Jude store. If you stop in and they don't have it on the shelves, I know they can get it for you very quickly. So go ahead and patronize them. And if you're not in the Philadelphia area, you know, please look to support your local Catholic shops if you have one. So, Father, I don't get an opportunity all the time to read the books because I usually have a different author on each week, and some of them are pretty lengthy books. But when I got a hold of yours, and it's like, what does Father have in here that I've not seen before or heard before? And it's not so much what I haven't heard or seen, but how well it's put together in an orderly fashion to help us get straight to heaven. And I think in this climate that we live in, this world that we live in, to your point that you make in the book, there's not a whole lot of people that think about this on a regular basis, right? Heaven, hell, death, and judgment.
That's right.
And as a result, they don't have a plan. And I think what this book does is gives somebody the ability to start to put that plan together and do the best they can with God's help to get straight to heaven, right?
Amen. Yeah.
And,
absolutely.
You know, one of the things that you know, obviously we're all called to be saints. We're all called to holiness. One of the things that jumped out at me was I'm always interested in the sacrament of confession, It was a huge deal to me because I had been away from the sacrament for so many years, and happened to make a retreat and go to confession, and I felt like the weight of the world was lifted from my shoulders. And I've read different authors and what they've had to say about confession, but one of the things that I didn't realize in reading your book is that you talk about how back in the day, and this would be like the 4th and 5th centuries, how you know, you would confess a sin like murder, adultery, or fornication, and your penance was 10 or 15 years? Is that right?
Yeah, and if you were married, you couldn't have relations with your spouse again, ever. And if you were single, you couldn't get married if you confessed one of those sins.
And so as a result, the people avoided going to confession until their deathbed. Or I was even talking about this with Father McKay, and he said that they would avoid getting baptized until later in life, you know, for fear of getting one of these penances.
St. Augustine did that, yeah.
Yeah. So in the 21st century now, we've swung to the complete other side of the pendulum, where instead of 10 or 15 years of penance, you can sometimes get, you know, 30 to 60 seconds. right?
That's true. Well, I give it more than that. But yeah, for those sins, certainly I give more than that. Yeah.
Yeah. And, but there's got to be a happy medium there somewhere, right, Father?
Yeah, there is. I mean, canon law just says that we should give an appropriate penance. So the penance should be geared to the nature of the sin. So, I mean, you know, if somebody's committed an abortion, for example, you know, the penance will be pretty big. It might last, you know, a month or something. But compared to the 4th or 5th century, it's not much.
Very good. Well, I jumped right into confession, but I probably should have started out with the, you know, the question, you know, what was the premise or the idea that led you to write the book?
I've always wanted to write this book. I've taught this in the first 10 or 12 years of my priesthood when I taught in the schools. And I taught kids about heaven, hell, and purgatory for the very first couple of weeks. And I noticed that once I did that, they listened for the whole year. I talked to another seminarian before I got ordained, and they said, how do you get these kids to stay with you? I mean, they're bored by all this. And I said, well, if you mention these things about heaven, hell, and purgatory, and explain what we can expect, they have a tendency to listen for a long time. They're really quite interested because they have motivation. We got to motivate people. I think a lot of Catholics are not motivated because they don't think about heaven, they don't think about hell, and they don't think about purgatory.
And you know, when we think about heaven, when you ask the man on the street what they think heaven's like, they probably don't have the same image that you portray in your book. And of course, that's the divine marriage and this marriage that we're going to have with God. That's what we were designed for. That's what we were built for. And, you know, some people seem to avoid it like the plague, or they just don't know that that's, you know, what the ultimate goal is. And, you stated so well, and especially in looking at the lives of the saints and some of those that experienced that mystical marriage, right?
Yeah. You have John Vianney, you have St. Calvin of Siena, John of God, John the Almoner, and several people that were given wedding rings from God. So, you know, and Teresa of Avila was told that she would be his spouse from that time on. Until that time, he said, you are not merited, but from now on, you'll be my spouse. So, St. Margaret Mary has one of my favorite quotes. She said, one time after Holy Communion, the Lord appeared to me and told me that he was the most beautiful the wealthiest, the most powerful, the most delightful, the most everything. She went on and on. Lover in all the world, that he had chosen her to be his spouse. Well, she had hesitated before that to become a nun, but when she heard that, she said, "Yeah, I'm doing it. I'll be there. Sign me up." So we have to have that understanding. And I have, you know, I work with people and that they tell me that, well, I have sinful fantasies. And I said, well, maybe you should try a holy fantasy. Well, what's that, Father? I said, well, I have a fantasy of them being embraced by this beautiful, beautiful woman who happens to be God. And it's a warm and it's a chaste embrace. And whispering in my ear, we're going to be married forever. Well, that stirs me to want to pray more. That stirs me to want to really work at my spiritual life. The other fantasy is drag us away from God.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, and so the ultimate goal is that mystical marriage, that espousal that we'll experience when we meet God. And for some people, that doesn't sound like it's, you know, it's real exciting. But, you know, I think it was John of the Cross, you know, eye hasn't seen or, you know, what the glories of God. And,
well, that was Paul, St. Paul, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, but John of the Cross has some beautiful things that I have in my book about the marriage with God. Beautiful things.
Taken from the Spiritual Canticle, right?
Yes. That's the most readable of all John of the Cross's books.
Yeah.
It's mechanical.
So I had jumped earlier right into the idea of confession. It comes in the chapter about the suffering of purgatory. And, you know, there's you can find just about any answer that you want to find, I think, on purgatory, if you look hard enough. Anything from, you know, it doesn't exist, so everybody goes to heaven, universal, you know, the idea that everybody goes to heaven, universal salvation, to the other extreme where, you know, you're going to spend thousands of years in purgatory. And as somebody that had been away from the faith for a while, when I first came back, I was, my wife, Susan, a great woman, but her mother had spent some time in a convent. She never made her final vows. So when I came back to the faith and I, you know, I had some questions and she would call to talk to her daughter. And if I answered the phone, I would, you know, have a brief conversation for her until my wife would finally say, enough's enough, give me the phone. But one of the things that I knew all the bad that I had done, and I was so happy to find out that I even had a shot at going to heaven. And I figured because of all those things that I had done that I would spend those thousands of years in purgatory. And then I started finding these prayer cards different places. And they were probably some of the older ones were on the back. It, you know, it was pray this prayer and get 1,000 days off of purgatory and pray this prayer.
Well, 1,000 days. Yeah. We've got to make clear that the 1,000 days did not refer to the time in purgatory, but to the days of penance you would do on this earth, okay? So a lot of people didn't realize that, but it's not 1,000 days of purgatory, 1,000 days of the penance you would have to do on this earth.
So if you don't do that penance, is that what translates to purgatory, if we don't take care of that penance here and atone and repair?
Well, yeah, I mean... purgatory, the time in purgatory is different from the time on earth. Thomas Aquinas speaks of ebeternity, which is between time and eternity. But it's longer than our solar time, all right? Longer. It doesn't just seem longer. It really is longer. And so, but we need to realize that there are plenty of ways to avoid purgatory. And God wants us to avoid purgatory. He doesn't want anybody to go to purgatory. Anybody that says, well, I just want to make it to purgatory, doesn't understand what purgatory is like, man. It's not the kind of place you want to go. And the way you avoid it is you become as holy and holy and holy as you can. And as I mentioned in the book, you know, becoming holy requires ground level. You got to pray a lot. You got to pray a great deal. But the greatest thing you can do to make up your time in purgatory is attend Mass. So I recommend people attend Mass every day. And the people that do that are the smart people, because they know that God is asking us to become holy. In fact, it says in the Bible, "Be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." And Jesus said in Luke 10:27, "You must love God to enter the kingdom. You must love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." And those are two very difficult, very high bars to reach. So we have to realize that God is asking a lot, but he's giving more. So we have to start somewhere. That's the key. Somebody has to start their life in prayer somewhere, and not worry about, you know, what's going to happen a year from now, or 10 years from now, or 20 years from now, or 100 years from now. Just start praying and start growing in prayer, little by little. That's what I always tell people, poco a poco, little by little, you build your prayer life up. And by the way, the people that doubt the existence of purgatory probably has trouble with that quote that I just gave. In order to enter the kingdom, you have to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, what if you don't love God quite with all your heart, soul, and mind? Well, if there's no purgatory, the person is left with a quandary. Are they going to go to hell? Or are they going to glide right into heaven, even though they didn't fulfill what our Lord asked? So the doctrine of purgatory makes a lot of sense in light of that teaching of the Lord. You've got to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. I mean, that's pretty high, that request. But again, it's little by little. God is extremely merciful, as you said, extremely merciful. And he's good. He's ready to forgive us. And he enables us to make up for our sins by everything we endure in this world. Nothing is wasted if we accept it from the Lord, and if we embrace it as a penance to either make up for our sins or to help other people make up for their sins in the world.
No, amen. And you know, and point well taken. I've had more than one friend that have told me that, you know, there's no way that they could ever aim for heaven, so they're aiming for purgatory. And I said to them, like you do, well, if you're aiming for purgatory, what happens if you miss? What's your backup plan then? At least if you aim for heaven and miss, you got a shot at purgatory.
I don't use that argument, but that's an argument that a lot of people use.
Yeah.
My argument is, do you really know what goes on in purgatory? If you did, you'd never shoot for it.
Yeah.
Higher.
Yeah, I was just telling my wife, we're actually due to go to Rome at the end of June. We've got a few days in Rome before we take a tour. And one of the places I want to go when we get there is the Purgatory Museum.
There you go.
Yeah, and only because I don't know if you know Susan Tassone. I've had her on a number of times, and we talk about the souls in purgatory. And, you know, we mentioned indulgences and that type of thing. But, you know, some of the best friends we can make are those in purgatory, because if we help them get from purgatory to heaven, we got. I think we'll have some helpers when our time comes.
We'll have an army if we try to. I try to get a plenary indulgence every day for a soul in purgatory, and I'm hoping by the time I get to heaven, I'll have a lot of people to greet me. It'd be really nice.
Amen. So, I know that there's plenary indulgences, now that we're on the topic, that there's plenary indulgences around like All Saints Day, All Souls Day, and they get extended. So I forget for November if it's for the week or for the month, where you can visit a cemetery and get a plenary indulgence. How do you manage to get a plenary indulgence every day?
Yeah, you can get one every day. That's right. All right, there are four things that you can do any day of the year, okay? One is to pray the rosary in a public place of prayer, or in a pious group, in a group of other people. It could be husband and wife. That could be a, enough for a pious group. So that's one thing, pray the rosary, right? Number two is to spend a half hour reading the Bible. That's number two, all right? Any day of the year. Number three, it would be to spend a half hour in prayer before the Blessed Sacrament. And number four would be to pray the Stations of the Cross.
Very good. So each one of those individually gets you
one, up? Each one itself. Yeah, not all of four. Each one itself. Now let me give you the other conditions, because the other conditions make it a little hard. Right?
Yep.
And the hardest condition is you have to be detached from all sin, including venial sin. That does not mean you're free of all sin, including venial sin. It means you're detached. To be detached means you're trying to get rid of it. You don't want to hang on to it. I was driving with a bunch of young people to pray the rosary outside in the mortuary one day, and the light turned yellow, and I stepped on the gas to get through the light. And on the other side of the light, I said, you know, I have to stop doing that. I have to be ready to stop for those yellow lights. And one of the kids in the car said, yeah, Father, because you can't get a plenary indulgence. I said, well, actually, I can, because I'm willing to work on it.
Yeah, you're not attached.
So that's detachment. I'm willing to work on it. So the other condition is to receive communion the same day, usually. And the next condition is to go to confession within 20 days before or after you do the act, one of those acts we just mentioned. So that's the plenary indulgence.
Very good. And I just jotted down all seven, the four things you can do and the three conditions. And, you know, it's always interesting because I got a few friends that are in recovery like I am. And when we come back to the faith and we learn about these things, and it's like, oh, I can get a plenary indulgence, and I can get a plenary indulgence. And, you know, one of the ones.
Well, it's not easy.
No, no. And so, you know, especially when people think of some of them are have strong opinions when it comes to politics. And, you know, depending on which side of the coin you're on, it's like, you know, well, do you love Donald Trump and Joe Biden? And usually most people, what? And like, well, if you don't, you got to love everybody, right, Father? And if
to love somebody means benevolence. You're concerned
right.
for their good.
Exactly.
Doesn't mean you like someone.
Right. No, understood.
Concerned for the good of that person.
Yeah. Very good. Well, now, you know, some of this stuff I've actually been doing on a regular basis and haven't taken advantage of the plenary indulgence. And I know I'm taking notes, and I see my friend Patrick over there is taking notes too. So there's going to be a lot of plenary indulgences in Grace Ferry in the coming weeks. I can see it now. So I thank you for that.
Yeah, well, you know, but, you know, it's a little easier to get a partial indulgence, okay? And there are tons of things. If you go on the Internet, you can find a list of things you can do for partial indulgences. But two things I just want to mention that are partial indulgences. One is when you enter the church, and you make the sign of the cross with or without holy water, that's a partial indulgence, okay? So that means if there's some soul that's getting near the time to be released from purgatory, when you just make that sign of the cross, when you come into church and say in your heart, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, that's a partial indulgence. And there's one other thing that people don't realize that gives them a partial indulgence, and that is to listen to the homily. And at Mass, to listen to a homily. Now, some people think it should be a plenary indulgence place. Partial indulgence is all you get, okay? Yeah. But I do that now because I don't hear well. And there's a little box that they have in our parish that sits on the chair where the priest sits. And I pick up that box, and if the deacon is preaching or if the other priest is preaching, I'll listen to the homily. Because I know that I can help somebody get out of purgatory. And so we should be really devoted to the souls of purgatory. We should be really helping them all over the place. As you said, you know, because we're going to have a lot of friends in heaven. And not only by the time we get to heaven, but even now, those people that we help get out of purgatory, they're going to be praying for us now.
Amen. And just the one final question then on those indulgences. We can either use them for our own or ask that they be applied to the souls in purgatory, right?
That's right. Only yourself and someone who's dead.
Right. Right. Yeah.
But your Mass, you can offer it for your soul, yourself, or a soul that's living or a soul that's dead. And by the way, the Council of Trent said that the best thing you could do for the souls in purgatory is to offer Mass for them.
Very good. All right. Again, our guest today is Father Tom Morrow. We're talking about this great book he wrote called Straight to Heaven, A Practical Guide for Growing in Holiness. And if you haven't figured it out by now, we're trying to give you ways to avoid going to purgatory and going to straight to heaven. The book's published by Sophia Institute, available at sophiainstitute.com, also locally here in the Philadelphia area at the St. Jude Shop. And if you're listening from a distance, perhaps look up your local Catholic retailer, but if not available there, by all means, check out Sophia's website.
It's also available on our website, and all our books are available there at a much reduced rate. Our website is C as in Catholic, F as in Faith, Alive, cfalive.com. You can see all our books on there, and it's free shipping. Everything is free shipping.
Oh, awesome. Because there's a couple of people that I know could use this. I'm thinking that this is probably like a great primer for high school students and those types of things. Something that teachers would could gladly use in order.
I think so. Yeah.
So yeah. Brings us just about to the bottom of the hour, Father. So we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about what you've written here. For our listeners, thanks for being with us. We're only going to take a short break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Dr. Carol Houghton of the Diocese of Harrisburg. I have been blessed in many ways by Kathleen McCarthy's retreats, days of reflection, preaching, and teaching, especially on In His Sign Catholic Radio. When Kathleen teaches from the scripture and shares with us her personal stories, I am deeply touched and inspired. It is as if God is speaking directly from her heart to my heart. And when Kathleen reads from her books, In the Silence of My Heart, she shares with us what God has spoken to her, an intimate message of unconditional love and mercy. God has blessed Kathleen with many gifts, which she readily shares with others by doing every day what the Lord has asked of her. And by the example of her yes to God, we too are encouraged to give our yes to God. For Kathleen's daily and public witness to the gospel, I will be forever grateful, for it is by this example that she challenges me to become a better disciple of the Lord.
Listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. please consider sponsoring one of our new programs. In the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to What the World Needs Now. Your host, Ken Johnston. And again, I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign. Just a quick update. I was able to get the flyer uploaded to our website during the break. And if you go to inhissign.com and scroll to the bottom of the homepage, you can go ahead and download the flyer there. It's got all the information, especially those that may be interested in sponsoring the event. We can always use additional sponsors, so please check it out. So, again, our guest today is Father Tom Morrow, and we're talking about his book, Straight to Heaven, A Practical Guide for Growing in Holiness. Father, are you there?
Yep.
All right. I thought we got reconnected. Very good. And actually, your classmate has called back in here. Father Doug McKay, are you there?
I'm here.
All right. You're on with Father Tom Morrow.
Father Tom Morrow. Hey, Tom, I thought you died. I thought I celebrated two masses for you.
Is that right? No, I didn't die yet.
No, listen, I've been trying to get in touch with you, and I just wanted to say hello. And I may not be a priest today if it weren't for you. You were my mentor. You got me through the notes. I used your notes, you know. You were my deacon at my first Mass, and I was at your first Mass. Do you remember all this, or do you have junior moments?
Sure, I remember it well, yeah.
I can't even hear
it. No, he said he remembers all of it, Father.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to say hi, Tom. And the way to heaven is to go straight and turn right with Jesus. And I heard you mention St. John of the Cross, one of my favorite quotes. O souls created for these grandeurs and called to them, what are you doing and how are you spending your time? Anyway, Tom, I just want to say hello and God bless you. I know I think I put more miles on your car in the seminary than you did. And I always prayed that deck of the rosary for you because that was the rental. You had it on your wheel. One deck of the rosary when you lent your car out. So thank you, Thomas. God bless you. And leave your number with Ken so I can give a call and talk to you later on, okay?
Yeah, just go to our website.
Yeah.
I did that. I couldn't get your number. I tried all of that.
Yeah, I got it, Father. Well, I'll make sure you get together with him.
All right.
Okay, good.
All right.
All right. I'll be listening. God bless.
All right. Thanks, Father.
God bless. All right. We had a lot of fun in the seminary.
Sounds like it. Sounds like it. I'm sure there's plenty of stories there to be told, but we'll save that for another day.
We played basketball together, too.
Oh, yeah? Was he any good? He's always talking about how great he was. He could have played for the Sixers if he didn't become a priest.
He was very good, yeah.
Okay. You're inflating his head even more. Now I have to put up with it when I go into the office tomorrow. Anyhow. Again, the book we're talking about is Straight to Heaven, and when it says it's a practical guide for growing in holiness, it's exactly that. It's not, you know, thousands of pages, a couple of pages on each chapter, but you mentioned earlier, Father, the daily Mass, and you referenced that in a couple different places and spent some time with it, so much so that if I read it correctly, one of the first questions you have for people when you take them under spiritual direction, you ask them if they go to daily Mass?
That's right. That's why I ask them, because I tell them that I'm willing to help you steer the ship, but you got to get the fuel. And so a lot of times they'll tell me, no, I don't go to Mass every day. I can't because of work or because of my schedule or because of where I live or whatever. And I just say to them, look, I just want to give you a little prayer to say, and a very easy prayer to say. Lord, you want me to go to Mass every day? Will you please arrange it? And in almost every case, something happened. They moved. They got a different job. Things changed. Somehow, God made it possible for them to go to Mass every day. And that's really, that's one of the biggest goals you can have in this life, is to be a daily communicant. That's such a beautiful thing. And you get so much grace from the Mass, more than anything else you could imagine. And there's some really great quotes from the saints about there's nothing that you can do that will bring you more grace than the Mass. And St. John Vianney said, if we knew how great the Mass was, we would die. We would die just thinking about it.
Yeah, and I, when you say that, and I think how many people take it for granted. And you know, I often wonder, and I try not to be judgmental, but when we, you know, you go to Mass on Sunday, you know, obviously daily communicants, you know, are making an effort to be there every day. But when we see the people on Sunday, you know, are they there just to punch their insurance card that, you know, when they meet God, they can say, well, at least I went to Mass on Sunday? And there's so much going on there. Even you know, our president here, Kathleen McCarthy, had put together a video some time ago, and if it's only 15 minutes about, you know, what's going on at Mass and being there with your guardian angel, and there's so many things going on that I don't think we see or completely understand. And when we learn about it, and like I did, I had a great priest who was a friend growing up. He's no longer with us, Father Bob McLaughlin. And when I came back to church, he would come over to my house with three or four or five of my friends, and we'd sit around, and he would, you know, catechize us, I guess, again on what went on at the Mass. And we were looking at him, and it's like, really, all this is what is going on? And I often wonder, you know, it'd be great if our priests on a, you know, a series of Sundays would take each part of the Mass. I don't know if you could do it as, you know, as Mass is going on, but actually explain what's going on. You know, you talk about the souls in purgatory that we help get to heaven, and I think about the preface before the Eucharistic prayer, you know, and when the angels and saints come to the altar along with you to witness, you know, what's going on at Mass and to celebrate it with us. And there's been times where because I know about that, I can actually visualize it. The day after my mother died, I just had this sense that she was there at Mass with me. And as soon as the preface started, I literally felt this presence stand up and walk away. Like, and I don't know if she was already in heaven and was walking to the altar, but it certainly seemed that way. And to think that all of our loved ones are there with us, you know, celebrating that, you know, that one eternal Mass is just awe-inspiring.
Oh, yeah. Well, St. Alphonsus Liguori said, one single Mass is more honor to God than all the penances of the saints, the labors of the apostles, the sufferings of the martyrs, and even the burning love of the Blessed Mother of God. And St. Bernard of Clairvaux, one merits more by devoutly attending the Holy Mass and by distributing all his goods to the poor and traveling all over the world on pilgrimage. So it's just amazing, the power of the Mass.
Yeah, and I should add that a lot of the quotes that Father's given us here as we're talking are actually found in the book. And there's, you know, well over 100 footnotes, over 200 footnotes that are in here. So all these quotes that he provides, if you want to go find the source and look at it in context, if you will, are certainly available to you. So, being the guy that loves shortcuts, and I spent most of my life looking for the easy way out, or the easy way in, or the easy way around, you know, God forbid I do it the way it's supposed to be done. But one of the last chapters in the book, if not the last chapter, before the summary, I guess, is the shortest way to the kingdom. And
right.
It doesn't necessarily mean that it's the easiest, because there's some, you know, some things involved here. But
no.
one of the first ones is the devotion to the Blessed Mother, and you mentioned this earlier. But the, you know, certainly she's helped me over these the last 30 years, And I hold her directly responsible for where I am after having made a consecration to her back in 1997. And I know she's been carrying me ever since.
Yeah.
And maybe maybe your take on that devotion.
I started praying the rosary when I was a freshman in high school. And I prayed it at night in bed because I didn't think I had time during the day, which I was wrong. But anyway, it used to take me 15 minutes to fall asleep quite often. So it wasn't until I was a junior that I realized, hey, this is really changing me. I'm going to keep doing this. Now, many years ago, there was a sister in a certain town that prayed for people that died, everybody that died in that town. Well, there was one woman in the town that lived in a cave because she was such an evil woman that they wouldn't let her live in the town. She corrupted the young people. And she was just awful. And so when she died, that sister said, well, I'm not going to pray for her. There's not much hope for her. But after a few years, that woman, she appeared to the nun. She said, why did you pray for me? You prayed for everybody else. And the nun said, well, are you saved? I never thought you'd be saved. She said, yeah, I've been saved because before I died, I turned to Mary and said, Mary, you got to help me. I'm such a mess. You got to help me. And so I got the help of Mary. And I've been in purgatory for all this time, and I only have a short time left. And I want you to have masses said for me so that I can be released. And she did. And she saw that woman who had been such an evil woman, but had called upon Mary before she died. She was finally released from purgatory. So the devotion to Mary is amazing. John Vianney was, of course, known for being a great confessor of people, and he often confessed, heard confessions for 14 hours a day. And one woman said, I'm going to go to ours to talk to Father Vianney and find out about my husband. So she went there, and she was waiting in line, and John Vianney had never seen her before. She had never seen him before. He stopped, pointed to her, and said, Your husband was an atheist. He had no use for God. But once in a while, when you would have an altar for Mary and May, he would say prayers to Mary. He would say one or two prayers. He committed suicide. But he said, your husband was given the grace by Mary from the time he jumped from the bridge until he hit the water or hit the ground to make a sincere act of contrition. So he's saved, and he's in purgatory. You better pray for him. And that was, that little thing that he did for Mary got him a great grace to be able to ask forgiveness for his sins after he jumped off the bridge to kill himself. So Mary is an amazing intercessor. She is amazing. And I owe to her the fact that I didn't get into a lot of trouble in high school and college. And after that, living on the beach in Los Angeles for 3 years, living in New York City for a while. This is all before I went to the seminary. And I owe to her that I didn't get into a lot of trouble. And I owe to her the fact that that I was able to hear God's call to enter the priesthood. And so in gratitude to her, I pray all the mysteries every day of the rosary because I'm so thankful for what Mary has done for me.
That's awesome. And I actually underlined in here the Pope Pius XII, where he said he once called devotion to Mary a sign of predestination according to the opinion of holy men. And it was like confirmation that I was on the right path,
Amen.
Much like you are. And I think there's probably no greater devotee than, probably yourself and Father McKay. He's probably given out more miraculous medals than anybody I know.
Yeah.
And of course, the second shortcut we've talked about is the daily mass. The third one is indulgences, and then you just mentioned the rosary and the idea of praying, you know, all 20 mysteries. And I don't always get all 20 in. And but there's I remember my engineer Patrick's here. The first week that I started doing it, I had prayed three that day, and he asked me to pray for somebody on my fourth one on the way home from the radio that Wednesday. And within about a half hour of completing that rosary, I think what he had asked for came to fruition. And
great.
And again, it's another confirmation. And I think so often, you know, we read about these things and it's like, oh, yeah, that works for Father Morrow, but that's not going to work for me. Or, oh, that worked for Ken, but that's not going to work for me. And I always just encourage people, you know, just do it. And then be open to and look for how the Blessed Mother and how Jesus are working in your life. Because sometimes, you know, we're expecting to see specific things and they don't always come, and then we get discouraged. But oftentimes those prayers are answered in ways that we never would have imagined, and usually in a much better way, right?
I like what you said. Just do it. Get started. Get started. Even if you just pray three mysteries a day. That's a lot of people in confessions, I say, hey, how about two mysteries a day? Did you start with that? And then every year try to do more. Every year. And some people will do more in 6 months or 8 months or whatever. Sometimes they'll go a little faster than I suggest. But it's all poco, little by little. You start with something. You start with something. But the thing is, if you want to make God first, you've got to make a commitment. You can't say, well, if I can, I'm going to pray. If I can, I'll pray. One woman, I asked, how's your prayer life? She said, it's hit or miss. That won't do for God. God has got to be number one priority. Even if it's only 5 minutes or 10 minutes, 15 to 20 minutes, you've got to make him number one and make him the priority. Build your day around your prayer life. And if you do that, you're on the way to making God number one, not only by the fact that he's the first priority, but also by the fact that you spend a lot of time in prayer. Because you're going to be able to spend a lot of time in prayer if you start praying and keep doing it and make it the most important thing in your life. And St. John Vianney said, the more you pray, the more you want to pray. And I would say the opposite is true. The less you pray, the less you want to pray. But prayer is not easy at first. A lot of people are bored by prayer. I was bored by prayer. Teresa of Avila was bored by prayer. She couldn't stand to go in the chapel and pray sometimes. And but she noticed, though, that she went in and prayed when she didn't feel like it. She felt better on the way out than when she had felt good on the way into prayer. So here's a great saint who prayed tons when she was a nun, but when she was just started in the convent, she didn't like to pray. So people have to realize that it's not easy at first. And Jesus did promise a cross. There's no way around the cross. If you want to get to heaven, one of my relatives once told me, I'm going to be the first one to become a saint without suffering. I said, I won't hold my breath on that. No way. You got to suffer. But if you suffer with a smile, you'll be happier.
That's right.
And you'll be able to cope with life.
Yeah, and that's one of the shortcuts that you mentioned here is the cross. And I think especially in this Lenten season, you know, a lot of our parish now have Stations of the Cross. You can always make them on your own. But, I don't know how anybody can, at least I can't, look at the cross and thank God for what he's done for me. And you know, the suffering that he bore, you know, for those 24 hours, from the time he left the Blessed Mother to go to the Last Supper until he, you know, was laid in the tomb. It was grueling. And for,
amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. And for us to, you know, some of the crosses that we have to bear, you know, pale in comparison. That doesn't mean that they're necessarily easy. But, you know, one of the things I've noticed in my own life is the grace to bear them always comes before the actual cross. We just need to look for it.
Yes. And we have to be able to say, if we have a cross, praise God. Thank you, Lord. And when we do that, we get a ton of grace, a ton of grace. But a lot of people, they curse their cross. Okay, I never want anything like that again. No. We have to say, if that's the cross you're giving me, Lord, I accept it. I kiss it. And I'll make the best of it. Because you've given me so much other good stuff. How can I complain about a few crosses along the way?
Very good. One of the other shortcuts here you mentioned is humility. And I got a few followers of this show that I know from my recovery world. And we learn in 12-step programs that the secret to this whole thing can be humility. That we have to realize that, you know, that God's God and we're not. And, you know, you included in here that the great prayer from Cardinal Murray DeVal, the Litany of Humility. And I love to see the faces of guys that and gals that pray this for the first time, because it goes absolutely against everything you're taught as a kid. You know, you know, work hard, play hard, get all you can. You know, my father's motto was always, you know, whoever dies with the most toys wins. You know, that type of thing. And this is like the complete opposite of it. But when you think about it, it's what I think instills everything that God asks of us in order to get to heaven.
And that prayer by Cardinal Mary DeVal, I knew, there's some question whether he really wrote it. But anyway, that prayer is kind of long. So I know people that are not, I know a lot of people are not going to pray a long prayer. So I shortened that prayer. And we print up thousands of that prayer in a shortened version so that people will be more ready to pray it and it won't take so long to pray it. That's on our website too, on our prayer cards. We have a lot of prayer cards that we have for available for people.
Very good. And I was actually on the break. I went out at CF. The website Father Morrow is referring to is cfalive.com. You can purchase the book we've been talking about there. You know, I saw you have a couple of things you've written on the Stations of the Cross, A Disciple's Way of the Cross is one of them. And a couple other books that you've written, so people may want to check them out as well. Again, our guest today is Father Tom Morrow, and we're talking about his book, Straight to Heaven, A Practical Guide for Growing in Holiness, published by Sophia Institute and available at cfalive.com as well as sophiainstitute.com. And here locally in the Philadelphia area, check it out at St. Jude Shops. So last but not least, I think, Father, or did I cover it all? Well, I had another note. No, I think we got it all. We have just a couple of minutes left. So any final words for our listeners here, Father, before I let you go?
Well, okay. So early in the book, I do mention heaven, hell, and purgatory. People need to realize that although there are some that want to argue there's no hell or there's nobody there, that's not from the Bible. The Bible says, yeah, there are people that go there. And Jesus said that. Go in through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to damnation, and many go in through it. So this is something that St. Jose Maria Escrivá used to do, encourage people to do, is when people are living in sin, just say gently and sweetly, there is a hell. There is a hell. And for parents that have children that are not living the faith, that are living sinful lives, there's a wonderful prayer that's been given us through St. Maria Faustina in the Divine Mercy. And our Lord said, pray for sinners. If you pray this prayer for sinners, they will be given the grace of conversion. You'd think it would be, you know, a two-hour prayer. It's a very short prayer. And here's the prayer. Well, blood and water, which gush forth from the heart of Jesus, as a fountain of mercy for us, I trust in you. Now, the fact that they'll be given the grace of conversion doesn't mean they'll be converted. It means they'll be given the grace. They still have to accept it, but it'll be easy. It'll be easy. But there's another promise of divine mercy. those who venerate the picture, the Divine Mercy picture, and I presume they have to keep doing it. I think if they do it once and throw it away, it won't work. But he said, those who venerate that picture will not perish. Now, that's a different promise, and that's a better promise, because the person has to do something, and nobody gets saved without doing anything. You can pray for somebody and pray and pray and pray, but if they don't do something based on your prayer, they're not going to be saved. But this one says they won't perish. They won't be lost. They'll end up in heaven. So all they have to do is to venerate the picture, and you can get a small picture and just kiss it every day. That's veneration. You won't be lost. That's a pretty good offer.
Yeah, I'll say. I'm going to have to move mine from my bedroom to my living room and make sure the kids take a look at it every day now.
Yeah. Blow a kiss. Yeah.
Father, I've really enjoyed being with you today. I thank you so much for spending the whole hour with us and taking time out of your busy schedule to do so. I look forward to reading the parts of the book in between the beginning that I got to and the shortcuts at the end. And I'm sure we'll be sharing it with Father McKay and a number of the people that we minister to. So thank you for your efforts and for all that you do.
Thank you, Ken. God bless you. Good to be with you.
Can we get your blessing before you go, Father, for myself and our listeners?
To all of you and your listeners, may Almighty God bless you and keep you close to Him and bring you one day to the glory of His kingdom. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. God bless you.
All right. Thanks. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. So, Father Tom Morrow, great show. I do. I encourage you to pick up the book. It's well written and concise enough that he makes his point, and anybody can benefit from it. Again, it's been great to be back in the saddle again after being away for 2 weeks, and I look forward to being with you again next week. And until then, I pray that God will hold you in the palm of His hand. Take care, and God bless.